Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You've brought your baby home, and when you want to put him down for his nap, you try to swaddle him just the way the nurse showed you. He keeps kicking his legs free, and his hands always seem to find his face within minutes. Do you really need to swaddle your baby? Do all babies like to be swaddled? And how do you know if you're swaddling your baby correctly? This is Newbies.
He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise! The whole family's here!
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year. Welcome to Newbies. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through the baby's first year. I'm your host, Kristen Stratton, certified birth doula, postpartum doula, and owner of In Due Season Doula Services. If you haven't already, be sure to visit our website at newmommymedia.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. You can also subscribe to our show through iTunes, so you'll automatically get new episodes when they're released. Sunny's here to tell us about ways you can participate in our new show.
Awesome. Thanks, Kristen. So as Kristen mentioned, she mentioned iTunes, and that's a really great way for you guys to learn more about our shows. And another thing that I want to promote along with iTunes, a way you guys can get involved and really help out newbies is by leaving a review. So that's the way iTunes works as far as people being able to find other shows. A huge portion of that is the amount of reviews a show has, because theoretically, people would have to listen to the show in order to leave a review, right? So they view those shows as being more popular and more people should check them out. So if you have just a couple seconds, you can either do this through your iPhone app. If you've got, everyone's got the podcast app on their iPhone, so you can search through there. You can also go through iTunes if you have iTunes on your computer. And all you have to do is find our podcast. And right underneath the logo for our podcast, there's an area where you can submit a review. And it's just a couple quick clicks. We would love to know what you think about the show. We really do read these. I get an update every time someone leaves us a review. And I really do take those to heart. So if there's something you like about the show, you know, this is a great way to post it. If there's, you know, areas we need improvement on, that's fine too. I welcome honest reviews. And you can also reach out to us personally. So if it's something that's more personal that you just want to share with me, or if you have a story idea or something like that, you can email me through the website. So you have to go to newmommymedia.com, click on the contact link, which is at the bottom of the page, and there's an email form there. And that's just a couple ways you can get in touch with us.
All right, let's meet our panelists. Let's start with Lindsay.
My name is Lindsay, and I am a mommy of two amazing daughters, Mia, who's age 4, and my littlest one, Abigail, who just turned 8 months. Both of my girls were huge swaddled babies. They didn't sleep without their swaddles. They cried when they got out of their swaddles. So I am a swaddle professional over here.
Awesome.
All right. And Garrett?
Hi, my name's Garrett Massey. I have 3 girls, age 4.5 and 2.5-year-old twins. And I have a 4th girl coming in into June. I am a big lover of swaddling. It was one of the ways that I was able to bond with the girls. And when my wife was in bed and needed rest, it gave me the opportunity to go and be part of the whole process. So I am owner of Cozy Babe. I actually manufacture swaddles to my size and design. And I love the challenge of a baby who breaks out of swaddles. That's my passion in life, is to find babies that they are told they don't like swaddling, and I swaddle them.
And to fix the problem. That's awesome. We'll make sure to include a link to Garrett's website on our New Mommy Media page and for the episode page for this episode.
So I'm Maggie Jennings, and I am the owner of Belly Laughs Birth Services, and I am the mother of four lovely children, ages 1.5 up to 10, one boy and three girls.
Welcome to the show.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so before we kick off our conversation today on swaddling, I wanted to bring up a headline that I found, and I love positive stories, and this is one of those stories that was originally just really devastating news to a family, and it turned out to have a very positive outcome. So I like to share these type of stories. So the headline for this is, 7-month-old baby receives donor heart and escapes death with moments to spare. And I know that sounds really dramatic, but I mean, that's literally what happened here. So basically, there was a little boy, his name is Lincoln, and he's from Alaska. And at 20 weeks pregnant, his mom found out that he had a congenital heart defect. And the family living in Alaska, the doctors determined they didn't have enough resources to be able to deliver this baby properly and be able to take care of him properly. So the baby was actually born in Portland, Oregon. And I believe the mom flew out there early. I don't think dad was there for the birth simply because they also have a daughter that he needed to take care of and daughter's in school. So obviously that's already a difficult situation when mom and dad are separated for the birth. But so they knew that there were going to be some problems. The thing that really caught my attention with this was the photo. The mom took this photo of her baby's hand right before the surgery took place because this baby went into heart failure 5 different times after birth. You're talking about a very short period of time. And they, you know, the doctors determined immediately that this baby needed a different heart. And so the mom took this photo and it just broke my heart because I think she's holding his hand and the hand is just, it's completely discolored. It's gray. It looks almost lifeless. And that's what really caught my eye with this whole article. My heart was just breaking, you know, just thinking about what that mom is feeling at that moment. So the good news is that obviously they did find a heart and baby Lincoln is doing very well. It was a surgery that was like down to the wire, like literally, the baby could not go into another heart failure or the baby was going to pass. There was no other option. And then the mom, after the surgery was over, took another photo and of the baby's hand. It's this bright, healthy pink color. And I don't know, just really warmed my heart. And I know that this is a tough decision that a lot of couples unfortunately have to make. Like when they get the news, like in this case, the mom was 20 weeks pregnant and she knew that her baby was going to have some issues. And I just wanted to share this as a sign that babies are just so, can be so strong, you know, in these kinds of situations, and something that seemed perhaps to the parents like, oh my gosh, this is just going to end up horribly. They took a chance and they bet on the doctors and just had faith that their baby was going to be healed, and the baby was healed. And I just love stories like this. So just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it. If you guys can see the photo online and stuff, we'll make sure we post it to our Facebook page too. But Kristen, what do you think about this?
Oh, well, I'm choking back the tears.
I know. It's sad, but happy at the same time, right?
It is. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, it's really bittersweet when you hear stories like this because you know how amazing it is that that child was able to live, but you also know that that means another baby died. So it is bittersweet, but I mean, what a miracle, and what a blessing to that family to be able to find the resources, find the right doctor, and then to, you know, get a donor heart. And, you know, I just really hope that everything continues to go well for this baby throughout his life.
I know.
Yeah, how terrifying for that the family. And I mean, the baby doesn't know what's going on, and you can just kind of empathize with them, and especially for those of us in the twin world, where, you know, we've had to go to the NICU and there's uncertainty and, you know, you just have to rely on the doctors and really put your faith in them. And so that's what an awesome outcome for in this situation.
Awesome. Lindsay, any thoughts?
Like everybody else was saying, what a touching story. It's heartbreaking. I can't even imagine having to be in that situation, but at the same time, I'm really on either side to be in the situation on either side, but what a beautiful outcome too. It's just, yeah.
I think it also says so much about kids. Like when you bring your first baby home, you're so worried about everything that you're doing, but kids are so resilient. And I mean, in something like this, you know, he needed a transplant, but it just goes to show, you know, they really are miracles and they're fighters. And it's cool to see something like this.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for sharing your opinion. We'll go ahead and post this on our Facebook page. You guys can take a look at the photos and look at the article for yourself.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today on Newbies, we're discussing how and when to swaddle your baby. Our expert, Maggie Jennings, is a DONA-certified birth doula, Lamaze-certified childbirth educator, certified lactation counselor, evidence-based birth instructor, and certified happiest baby on the block educator. Thanks for joining us, Maggie, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Wow, I was a little intimidated reading that intro with all your credentials.
That was a really long list.
Well, you should be proud of it. Okay, so Maggie, what is swaddling and why is it used?
So swaddling is tightly wrapping little babies up so they feel nice and safe and secure. When they're first born, they come out of the womb where they're folded really, really close and tightly in the womb. And so that transition from in the womb to the outside is a big one. And so when we are able to swaddle them and keep them close and tight, then that tends to just help them feel happier and they're going to cry less, which is always a good idea for new parents to have babies crying less.
Yeah. And when do most babies prefer to be swaddled?
They're going to prefer it the most in the first 3 months after a baby's born. One of the things that Dr. Harvey Karp talks about with his happiest baby on the block is the fourth trimester. And the fourth trimester is that first 3 months after baby's born, where we're really trying to replicate the womb as much as possible. And that's what is going to make that transition the easiest for baby. So we're going to see that babies like it the best in those first few weeks after baby's born, the first month. And it's going to start lessening over that 3 month period. So some of them will like swaddling for 3 to 4 months, and some of them are going to be done after a month and a half. It's just really going to vary from baby to baby. Some children do like to be swaddled for longer than that, but as far as, you know, the real function of it, it's really that first 3 months.
And how do parents learn how to swaddle?
Well, there are a variety of ways there. Taking a newborn care class prenatally is a great way to learn how to swaddle, just to have some hands-on practice before a baby actually arrives. If nothing else, the nurses are going to show parents how to swaddle in the hospital or the birth center, wherever they're birthing, if they would like to learn. There are also a million YouTube channels where you can see firsthand how to swaddle. So that's a great resource for new parents, especially because they can just keep refreshing and replaying that little video.
And parents, do you remember the first time you tried to swaddle your baby and how did it go? Let's start with Garrett.
Yeah, I do remember. I was trying to think back on all the classes that I'd been to, and my brother-in-law had showed me with my little niece, but that was probably like four or five years prior. And so what I did is I just asked each nurse to show me their method. And then towards the end of it, there were things that I liked from one person to the other. And so I kind of started to combine some of the best practices. And the first few swaddles are, it's basically just a big lump. It doesn't even turn out the way that you think it should, or you want it to. And the babies seem to like it. And then as you get more practice, it gets more snug and in all the right places. So it's just kind of trial and error. You got to practice it. But if you don't practice, then you won't get great at it.
How was it for you, Lindsay? How was your first attempt at swaddling?
Well, I actually was fortunate enough to have 2 years of experience of it because I was actually a postpartum and nursery nurse for 2 years before I had my children. So once I had my babies, it was very familiar to me. But at the same time, it was actually completely different because swaddling your own children versus swaddling your patients for me was it was so sweet and it was so different, but it was fun to also teach my husband my ways of the way that I swaddled versus the ways that the nurses would come in and try to help us. And actually, you know, he had his own specific way that he ended up coming up with. So yeah, it was really fun to kind of see all the differences and different ways of how people swaddle.
Yeah. I kind of felt the same way. I, had all these nieces and I had babysat and I was a nanny and I knew everything about kids, right? When I had my first child, you're a perfect parent until you become a parent, right? And I remember trying to swaddle that first night home. We had just gotten home from the hospital and the nurses did everything at the time. So, you know, I didn't even have to try, but I totally knew how to swaddle and I could not do anything. I mean, this kid had arms up by her head. She was kicking her feet out. I'm like, there's no way this kid is like this developmentally, you know, advanced that she knows how to, you know, intentionally get out of it. But it felt like she was. It was just a disaster. So I think in combination with just inexperience doing it under the pressure of sleep deprivation, and just having to constantly do it in the middle of the night just makes it that much more difficult. So that was my first attempt at expert swaddling as a first-time mom.
My favorite thing to hear from my friends is they say, my baby doesn't like to be swaddled when it's a brand new baby. And it's kind of like my ears perk up and I just run to them. I'm like, I'm coming over. I'm going to show you how to do this. Because so many times people think that just because they're not getting it right the first few times and the hands are coming out, then they kind of start to give up and then the baby learns to be without it. It's just if you can get into the practice and habit of doing it when it's time to sleep or time to be cozy and restful and get it done right, then the baby will love it and you'll get more rest, better rest for longer employing this practice. But a lot of times, you know, if people aren't good at it, then they give up and they're like, oh, my baby just sleeps fine without it. But their baby sleeps like 1 hour a night and, you know, they're just dealing with a lot of sleep issues.
You know, to Garrett's point about being able to sleep better, that was really, really important to me when I had twins because I was pumping throughout the night. And when they were first born, they were preemies. And so they couldn't latch properly. So I was like pumping every 3 hours. And so I really valued my sleep at night. When I could get my sleep, I really valued my sleep. And my twins were the only babies I swaddled. So my older boys, I never swaddled them. And they always slept pretty well. So I think that's why I never really felt like I had to swaddle. But with my twins, I was thinking, babies, you need to sleep as long as possible. And I don't want one baby waking up the other baby. And so it worked out really well for me. But I have the experience of not swaddling and swaddling. And I can definitely say that the twins slept longer because they were swaddled.
So Maggie, what about skin to skin? When is swaddling the appropriate thing to do?
Well, in the first few weeks, skin to skin is the most important thing to do. If baby is down, if you're putting baby down to rest or whatever, then swaddling can help them sleep longer, like you guys were just talking about. And it's definitely valuable in that regard for helping parents get a little bit longer nap, be able to take a shower without having the baby crying. But when parents are awake, when mom is awake in particular, you know, having baby skin to skin is going to be great for breastfeeding in particular, but it's going to help mom's, you know, hormones sort of stabilize. It's going to help baby be a lot happier in general. Babies are born needing their parents. You know, they need that warmth and swaddling is going to help them feel tight and secure. But if they're laying on their belly on their parents' chest, then they're also going to feel really secure that way. So I never put swaddling before skin to skin, especially in that first month or so. And dads can be doing skin to skin too. I always want to plug that. It's really important for dads to do skin to skin as well, because then baby gets to know dad's smell and he's going to be able to help comfort baby as they get older as well. So I say, you know, mom feed baby, get their belly nice and full, and then dad take over, whip off that shirt, stick baby on your chest. And that way they're full and they're warm and they love you so much.
And dads, be careful of that manscaping. Don't do a trim right before you have the baby. Like, at least, you know, let it grow for a couple weeks or so, you know, so it's nice and cozy.
Don't scratch your babies.
Yeah, skin to skin is awesome. It makes you feel so good. And, you know, you have baby laying right on top of you. And I remember being in the hospital and having her, my first, laying right on me. And it's just such a cool feeling. And the babies, they love it and need it. Just one of the things that I see, you know, and I'm no like certified expert, but when you get in the habit of having your baby fall asleep on you, and then you don't transition that into sleeping in the crib or in their nursery, then, you know, it's 6 months down the road, a year down the road, and then before you know it, your kid's sleeping with you, and they're 5 years old. And anyway, I just want to throw that out there, and I'm not naming any names.
Garrett.
I hope they're not listening right now.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of the times the dads say, you know, well, I can't really do anything. All I do is change diapers, or, you know, because she's breastfeeding. What can I do to help? And I think, you know, Maggie makes a great point about how important bonding is when you can do skin to skin with your baby. That's a great way to help mom, because then she can go take a shower, or she can go take a nap or eat something. You know, those are the best times for dad to bond with baby, but also to be helpful to mom. So dads, you guys are really important, or partner, you're really important to helping mom.
I have the cutest picture from when my first daughter was born, and it's from the hospital. And it's of my daughter and my husband, and the nurse, this was something I had never seen before. The nurse had taken my baby and told my husband, pull your shirt down a little bit. And she shoved the baby inside of his shirt and put the baby on his chest, and her little head's like sticking out. And it was just the cutest thing I had never seen before, because he was like a little mama kangaroo with his little Joey, and it was so cute. But we have the picture still framed in the house. It's just darling.
Yeah, don't miss the opportunity to go to skin. It's such a cool experience.
So, Maggie, at what developmental stage should parents consider discontinuing swaddling?
Well, usually when the startle reflex, the Moro reflex, starts sort of going away, at that point, swaddling isn't as necessary. Part of the swaddling, you know, when you lay baby down on their back, they'll sort of flail their arms out. And that's what we're trying to minimize, because it makes them cry. So usually around the end of the third month, fourth month, at the end of that fourth trimester, that's going to be a good time for them to start weaning off of it, so to speak. Now, some babies are going to like it longer. And so a good way to sort of test it is to maybe swaddle them with one arm out. And if they are able to stay resting nicely and contentedly, then it might be time to, maybe we don't need to swaddle anymore. If they're flailing that arm around and really just not able to calm down, then you might want to try it for a few more weeks. The other one, the developmental stage, would be when they're rolling over. If they're able to roll over in the swaddle blanket, then we don't really want them doing that either, because it's hard to roll back, you know? So we always put them to sleep on their back, swaddled up. And then, you know, those are the two things, sort of markers we're looking for.
Yeah, for me, it was when they start to consistently break their arms out. And for the first, it just so happened to be around like the 3.5-4 month mark. And then we started to swaddle her with arms out. And then for the twins, it was about the same, like towards the third month, that we were swaddling arms out. But it's, I mean, every baby seems to be different, you know, whatever works for that baby. But for me, it was they were consistently starting to break out, and they were just sleeping with their arms out. It wasn't like they were waking themselves up, so there was no reason to re-swaddle them at that point.
When we come back, we will continue our discussion about the types of swaddling, and Maggie will explain why it is important to do it correctly. We will be right back. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with certified Happiest Baby on the Block educator Maggie Jennings. Maggie, how many types of swaddles are there, and how can parents learn which one is right for their baby?
You know, there might be an infinite number of swaddles out there, ways to actually swaddle baby. I'm not sure. There are different ways, you know, to where to put the arms. We put them straight down. Do we let them cross across the body? Do you wrap the legs up? Do you have them sort of, you know, hanging loose? There are lots of different ways to actually swaddle. And I think that, you know, the best way to figure out which one's right for your own baby is to try them out. Is this one helping my baby stay calm? Is this one not working at all? And then going from there. The Happiest Baby on the Block, in our classes, we teach the doo-doo swaddle, which is D-U-D-U, down, up, down, up. And so that's the one that I'm the most comfortable teaching. I found it to be really useful. Helps keep the babies nice and tight and secure. But there are any number of swaddles out there.
Yeah, and for me, I like the square swaddles. I know there are a lot of different types of zipper bags and stretchy material things that you can kind of put them in. And I just like the square blanket because in it, the square swaddle, they're so universal. I mean, you can lay them down and for a changing mat. You can use them for, you know, for breastfeeding, as a cover up or for spit up or for keeping them warm in the stroller, and then also for swaddles. And I found that the ones that are out there are so big that I was sewing, I was cutting mine and sewing them. And in order to do my method, which is the square, I start with a square and fold it down. And if you want to see my method, you can go to the cozybabe.com and there's a video and a tutorial on how to do it. But I found that I was doing that so much, manipulating the blankets, that I said, hey, I'm just going to start making these myself. So that's how the business got started. And I really like using the blankets. And I've tried zipper bags before falling in love with swaddles, and they just didn't seem to work as well for me.
So when I swaddled my twins, I'm not a very confident swaddler, I guess. I got the pre-folded ones where there's Velcro, and I just kind of like roll them up and tuck this in and wrap this over, and there's the Velcro. Because I just, again, I just really wasn't confident in my own abilities, and I really only swaddled them at nighttime. It's the only time I did. And so half the time I was half awake, because like I said, every 3 hours I was getting up to pump. And so it was kind of crazy and I was kind of sleep deprived. So I know that worked really well for me. The downside of that for me is that those are very specific sizes, right? So I felt like I kept graduating. My babies were growing kind of quick. And so I had to kind of graduate to the next size. So, and then I was trying to sell the ones that were smaller. And so I feel like that was kind of the downside of it. But if someone wants something really kind of quick and you're not all that confident in your abilities, it worked for me for a short period of time.
And Maggie, are there risks of improper swaddling which parents should be aware of?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that can be an issue. One is, you know, hip dysplasia. And so we want the legs to be able to move, to bend up and across each other. That's how they're going to be in the womb. And so we don't want them to be forced to be straightened out. And so when babies are swaddled with their legs really straight, like how we used to see in more historical, like papooses and the board swaddling, that kind of situation, those kinds of things can lead to hip dysplasia. So we want to make sure that the legs are loose. It's not too tight around their hips. It's one of the things that we're looking at. Another thing that's important is making sure they're swaddling correctly, because if the blanket is too loose, then baby can get out of it, and then they have a loose blanket in the bed. And so that has been shown to, you know, not be a good idea because of suffocation hazards and things like that. So making sure it's nice and tight and snug is a really important step as well.
Panelists, what kind of swaddle did your child prefer?
For me, my kind of like Garrett, my children really preferred the blankets versus any of the swaddlers or the zip sacks or any of those things that they have out there these days. So we would just stick with the traditional 3x3 blankets. And as they grew, it was challenging to try to find 4x4s, but that's the method that we used. And the tighter for us, the better. And that baby would be crying, and the second we would swaddle it, it was instant comfort and just sleep. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing for our family.
Yeah, the square swaddle blanket was a go-to for us, and for a lot of different reasons that I already mentioned, but it was just nice to not have to have so many extra things to consider when putting the baby to sleep. And so we had the same experience. You know, you get to a point where the baby knows that it's going to be comfortable in there and it's safe and secure, but it's kind of like a learning process. That's the awesome thing about babies, is that from the moment they're born, they're learning and we're training them. And if you train them to be comfortable in a swaddle, and it's the swaddle, but it's also you're rocking them, you're shushing them, you're patting them, and they have a full tummy, and then all those thoughts and happy feelings are associated with the swaddle. And that's what I loved about it, was being able to put them in there, and then all instantly, you know, they would be really happy. But if you don't train your baby to like it, then, you know, it's not going to be like instant every time. You know, from the very beginning, is you have to teach them to love it.
Exactly.
Maggie, are there some babies who just don't want to be swaddled?
Of course. I mean, you always are going to have babies that don't like certain things. And we're looking at different kinds of things to do. I mean, we're looking at the majority. And so the majority of babies are going to like to be swaddled. They're going to want that feeling of security, of being tight and wrapped up. But some babies just won't really like it. There aren't really any contraindications or any reasons that a baby shouldn't be swaddled that I can think of off the top of my head. But if your baby sleeps fine without being swaddled, then they definitely don't have to be. I mean, there's no reason to definitely do it. But if you try swaddling, your baby doesn't calm down normally, and you're trying swaddling and baby isn't really liking it, a lot of times it's because it's either not tight enough or their arms aren't down low enough, or sometimes the blanket is touching their cheek, you know, so it's just stimulating their rooting reflex. They want to eat all the time, you know, so a lot of times it's just that we're not swaddling quite right, you know, less that baby doesn't like it and more that I'm not actually swaddling correctly. And so that's just something to look at, you know, make sure that we got it really nice and tight and secure. The arms are down, aren't getting out, and that it's not touching them, basically.
Okay. And for me as a swaddle nut, I'm going to say there's no baby that doesn't want to be swaddled. And I, you know, won't take the politically correct way. I'm going to say if you have a baby who doesn't like to be swaddled, call me, text me, Skype me. I will help you. Babies just, they weren't sitting in the womb for as long as they were saying, I hate this. This is horrible. And so that's what I try to recreate with the swaddle, is that the consistent, cozy feeling when it's time for them to relax and rest and nap. And if you are consistent with it, then your baby will like it. As long as you're doing it properly, just like she said, if it's loose and if you're too afraid to make it snug around their arms, which is the biggest thing when they get their arms up into their face, they're waking themselves up, then, you know, yeah, your baby is not going to enjoy it because it's not being done right. So watch the videos that are out there. You can check out my website for it, but there's going to be a link. But yeah, I say all babies love it.
And if I could just add one more thing, you guys, something that, you know, I always was questioning myself about and timing with my children is just to remember that every baby is so different. And that's what's key here. My first baby was swaddled until she was 8 months old. And my second baby was only swaddled until she was 4 months old. So there's no right or wrong time when to stop the swaddling. And I always, you know, questioned myself if this was going on too long or if this was not, you know, short enough. Like you guys said, if the baby's sleeping fine without it, go ahead and let it go.
I do have kind of a unique story about this. I, you know, think swaddling is very important, but I also have a child who has special needs and in particular has sensory issues, and he hated swaddling. And by the time I had my third child, I considered myself a pretty proficient swaddler. But I just, you know, not to contradict Garrett, because I definitely think that it has a lot of value. But I do also want to encourage the moms who have a feeling that something is off to trust their mother's intuition, because I always had that nagging feeling that, you know, this is kind of unusual. And not to put fear into the hearts of any of moms out there, because most babies are just fine. But in my mother's intuition, I did have a feeling that something was off, and it turned out to be a sensory issue diagnosed later in life. So I look back and I'm like, oh, maybe that's why he hated the swaddle. So that's just kind of a unique tale from my household.
And sometimes larger babies don't like to be swaddled. I've noticed they aren't as into it. Another thing that I was going to touch on is that there are different kinds of swaddle products out there. And one of them is called the swaddle up. And so some babies, when they come out and their arms are up by their head, and they're always up there. And so putting their arms down, sometimes they aren't as comfortable. And the swaddle up blanket actually lets their arms be up, you know, by their ears, and it zips up so that they can feel secure. But for some babies, it just helps them be a little bit more comfortable, and they are able to sleep longer when the regular sort of typical swaddling methods aren't working as well. So there are a lot of different options out there. But yeah, generally babies, you know, pretty much all babies will like to be swaddled. They'll like that feeling of security.
Thank you so much, Maggie, and our wonderful panelists for joining us today in our discussion about when and how to swaddle your baby. And for our Newbies Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show, as Maggie will share about the happiest baby on the block technique and how swaddling is involved. For more information about the Newbies Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so before we wrap up our show today, we have a baby oops. And I love baby oops because it's a chance for our listeners to share their funny stories, things that have happened within that first year of caring for your baby. So it could be something funny you did as a new parent, or it could be something funny your child did. In this case, Laura sent us this quick little email, and it was Laura that did something kind of funny. And I'm sure this wasn't necessarily funny at the time, but afterward, we can laugh about it, right? So Laura says, when I brought my daughter home, I felt like super mom. I did everything and even enjoyed entertaining all the relatives that came over. Wow, that is a super mom. Amazingly, that lasted about 2 weeks. Then one night, my little girl woke up hungry, and I remembered that I got her from the crib, changed her diaper, warmed the bottle, and rocked her. I rocked her and I rocked her, but I couldn't figure out why she was still crying. I just rocked her. Eventually, she cried herself back to sleep. I put her back in her crib all snug and warm, probably because she was swaddled. Well, my husband came out to check on me like an hour later, and there I was, no baby, a full bottle, sound asleep, all while rocking myself in the chair. When he asked me what I was doing, I had no idea. Needless to say, I forgot to feed her. I slept for a really long time after that and didn't play super mom anymore either. So I'm guessing she just imagined all this happening. She was dreaming that she was feeding her babies. And that's what happens with sleep deprivation. And, you know, Lindsay and I have been talking about sleep deprivation and making silly mistakes as a result of just not getting enough sleep, right, Lindsay?
Absolutely.
She needed a postpartum doula.
She did. That mama needed some help. Absolutely. Even if it was from the husband a little bit. So anyways, Laura, thanks so much for sending this in. We love these kind of stories. And if anyone listening, if you guys have a story that you would like us to read on the show, you can submit a couple different ways. You can go to our website at newmommymedia.com. You can send us an email through there. But the best way, I think, for you guys to send us your stories is through voicemail. And you can do it now all through the website, which is nice. You don't even have to pick up your phone anymore. So again, through the website, click on that. There's like a little banner on the side of all the New Mommy Media pages, and it says send voicemail. So if you click on that, you can just use the microphone on your computer and send it in that way, and then we'll put it on a future episode and you'll become internet famous. So Laura, again, thanks for sending it in. This was awesome.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, Parent Savers for moms and dads with infants and toddlers, the Boob Group for moms who provide breast milk to their babies, and Twin Talks for parents and multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.